My mama told me something when I was growing up that has forever changed my life. She played the piano at our little church at 3rd and Pine Street for 37 years. She tried to teach me to play the piano, but I wasn't very good. She would teach me the names of the notes, what a major key is, what a minor key is. She tried to teach me musical theory, but I was just bored. Then, one day, she told me that the best news in the world is found by playing a simple scale on the piano. I had no idea what she meant, so she told me to play an 8-note scale. So I did. I said, "How is that good news?" And she said I played it incorrectly and that I needed to play it the other way. So I did. Again, I said, "How is that good news?" And she said, "I played it the right way, but I needed to add the pauses." "The pauses?" She said, "The pauses. Add them on the first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note." Now, I was frustrated and said, "How can 8 notes with random pauses be the best news in the world?" Then I got up, walked away, and went outside. Frankly, I didn't care what she was talking about. I didn't like playing the piano anyway. Well, years later, my mama got sick and passed away. As I was thinking about her, I remembered what she told me about the piano. Not only that, I still remember the notes she told me to pause. The first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. So I sat down at her piano and played the scale with the pauses. And that's when I realized the good news she was talking about.
Would you please sit down? Well done. A very warm welcome to St. Peter's Fulham this evening for our first ever jazz carol service. I'm really excited. I'm a little too excited, but I'll try and contain that a little bit. If you thought you were coming to a traditional carol service, I'm so sorry. That's next week. You'll probably really enjoy that. Tonight, we're going to be grooving our way through the carols with some jazz, some gospel, some funk, and much more. And we're really hoping that you're going to sing along too. No matter how hard it gets, no matter all manner of jazzy stuff going on up here, just keep following Rosie. She's your girl. Except when she does jazzy stuff as well, then you're on your own. The words and the readings are all going to come up on the screens. And as we go through, I want to give you permission to enjoy yourself. We are in a church. I know what you're like, but I want you to enjoy yourself. If that toe needs to tap, or if the hands need to clap, just go for it. Go for it. I was demonstrating just accidentally in my house, you know, the kind of jazz moves. And my wife said, "You're not going to do those, are you?" I think I just did. Anyway, I can't control it. So if it happens, it happens. Why don't you, you're not going to just take my word for it. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, "You have permission to enjoy yourself." Do that now. Great. Great. You've told them. You've told them. You have permission from the person next to you. After the service, we'll be serving mulled wine and mince pies through in the church hall. So please do stay for that if you can. But there's so much to enjoy before then. After our first reading, it's going to all continue unannounced. We'll stand for the carols. We'll remain seated for the readings. And Abby Keeler now has our first reading for us. He's going to come up now.
Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, starting at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty who accomplished this. Thank you.
myself. No way is coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive himself, the dear Christ has sent. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings. Oh, come to us, abide with us, oh Lord
Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until after she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Snow. Third reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Sigh.
Our fourth reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, starting at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Let nothing cause you fright. To you is born a Savior in David's town tonight, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. Joy. those tidings, rejoiced that much in my, and left their flocks of feeding in tempest, storm, and wind. I went to Bethlehem straight away, the Son of God to find. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. And when to Bethlehem they came, where Christ the infant lay, they found him in a manger, where oxen feed on hay. And there beside a newborn child, his mother knelt to pray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises, with you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood, each other now embrace. This holy child of Christmas, all others stop deface. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy.
Our fifth reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi.
Good evening, I'm Jack. Very warm welcome. Let me add my welcome to David. And let me say, I am really enjoying my first ever Jazz Carols. Are you guys? I thought I was firmly traditional, but I actually think I might have been swayed tonight. So should we give the musicians a clap? I just think they've been amazing. Well, let me start and say whether you know what these people coming up on the screen have in common. Do you know what these people on the screen have in common? Well, let me tell you, at various points this year, these people have been cancelled. They've been cancelled. Bill Crosby, R. Kelly, Harvey Weinstein, and even the Dalai Lama at one point this year was cancelled for a week or two. And if you're wondering, what is cancelling? Cancelling is a kind of modern social media-based boycott. It's basically the equivalent of just like hitting mute on your TV remote, but on social media. And I think cancelling is quite a modern thing, but it's just one expression, one symptom of our increasing aversion to authority. I mean, it's not just celebrities in the firing line. Never, I don't think, before have people been so skeptical of political authority. We've seen this week, or in the last couple of weeks, the not him election, or over in the royal family, we've got Prince Andrew almost being kicked out. Over in the US, we've got the ongoing impeachment of Donald Trump. And then over in the Far East, in Hong Kong, we've got riots. Will there be anyone left? I think if it was down to us, we'd just cancel everybody. And we could go on. But it's not just public life that I think we've got this aversion to authority. I think it's in our offices and in our homes. I was just thinking about this the last couple of weeks, and I recently disagreed quite passionately with my boss, and we kind of spoke quite loudly at each other for about 30 minutes, and then at the end we had to just kind of call quits, and my boss turned to me and said, Jack, at the end of the day, I'm your boss, so... And as a kind of narcissistic millennial who's, you know, never been told no to anything, I actually found that really hard to swallow in that moment. But finally, in the home, I think it exists in the home. You know, when you just switch on the crown, it's 9:30, just sat down on the sofa, and then your housemate pops up, just, oh, it's bin day tomorrow. Oh, it is. Yeah, it's bin day tomorrow. Or the same, you're just climbing into bed and you're just like, ah. And then you just hear this, oh, you've left the lights on downstairs. You're like, ah. And in those moments, you just want to kind of cancel your housemate. You're just like, duh. In my case, it's a bit awkward because my housemate's my wife, but you know, these are trivial examples, aren't they, a bit? But they do show we don't like being told what to do, you know, how to think, by anyone. It seems we have a deep aversion to authority. So the question I'd really like to explore with you guys tonight is this. What would it take for us to want to come under another person's authority? Like, to whom would we say, you can tell me what to do? You can tell me what's right and wrong. You can tell me what to think, even about like really important things like work or relationships. Is there anyone in the world you can think of that you would want to put that person in that sort of position in your life? Not out of like fear or coercion, but that you would actually want to do it because you think it would be better. And I think even this question is quite alien to us, because we live in a generation that prizes freedom above all things. But it is a really interesting question, isn't it? Because what happens if that would be better than total independence? What if that person you put in that place of authority in your life could actually run your life better than you could? That they would make you happier? That they'd give your life more meaning? And in the next 10 minutes, I want to briefly give you the Bible's answer to those questions, which in short is yes. Yes, there is someone who could run our lives better than we can. Yes, he'd make us happier. Yes, he'd give us more meaning. But more than all of that, we actually desperately need his help. And he wouldn't push himself on us. We'd have to willingly come under his authority. And that person is Jesus Christ. So that's a short answer. The slightly longer answer I was going to give in kind of three parts. The first part would be Jesus is God's ultimate authority born as a baby. So suppose for a minute that it was agreed amongst all 195 countries of the world that what we really need on earth was some sort of ultimate authority, like a king, prime minister, high court, judge, commander, head of church, kind of all rolled into one, and they'd just rule over every country, over every man, woman, and child. They'd all fall under his jurisdiction. I mean, could you imagine the hoo-ha in trying to arrange all of that? We can't even arrange an election in this country, but just imagine it. And would they be allowed a Twitter account, for example? I don't know. But what if I told you that position has already been filled by Jesus Christ? I mean, we don't tend to think of Jesus Christ as being God's ultimate authority on earth. Come to think of it, we don't really think Jesus has any authority on earth. And I put that down largely to the Christmas nativity. We had it here this morning in church. I think it's basically been 2,000 years of bad PR for Jesus. They say no PR is bad PR, but if I was his campaign manager, I think we'd do some serious work on his image around this time of year. Because, you know, as we read passages like Luke chapter 2, just read it again with me. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. He will be assigned to you. You will find him as a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And we hear that and we think, it's cute, you know. It's kind of Instagrammable. It's fun. It's just fun of God to give us like you know, that classic school home nativity scenes of Mary dropping Jesus on his head or whatever it is. There we were this morning. It was great. Cute, fun. But if we're honest, like zero impact and bearing on our lives in, you know, 21st century Fulham. For most of us, especially at this time of year, I think it's fair to say Jesus is still kind of a baby in our minds. And if, a bit like the Evian adverts, I don't know if you've seen them, but where he still is kind of like a baby, and so we would find it pretty hard to think of him as God's ultimate authority of the world, same time as being a baby. But please, if you remember one thing tonight, it's this, that Jesus is still alive now. Even though you can't see him, he is alive and kicking. The Bible would say he, Jesus, right now is on God's throne in heaven, ruling. And he's never been more alive. He's not Evian baby Jesus. He's not even buried in a tomb in Palestine. In fact, even atheist historians take very seriously the evidence for his life, death, and resurrection, that even he rose back to life 3 days later. As wacky as it sounds, the Bible would say Jesus really did ascend back to heaven, and so right now he's alive. We hear Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord, and for many of us, it might as well say Jesus, the head of Gryffindor or something like that. But the Messiah is the Bible's shorthand for the God's chosen king, prime minister, high court judge, and head of church, all rolled into one forevermore. And God has promised that one day he will send Jesus again, this time not as a baby. This time, the next time we see Jesus, there'll be no missing his power and his authority. So this Christmas, don't confuse God's humility in sending his son as a baby. Don't confuse that for weakness or somehow God giving up his authority. When we hear today in the town of David a Savior has been born, he is the Messiah, the Lord. Make no mistake, God gave his full power and authority to that baby. So that's our first point. Jesus is God's ultimate authority, born as a baby. And the second part is Jesus, God's ultimate authority, we try and cancel. So we think cancelling, that's got quite a modern thing on social media, but actually it's an ancient practice. And we saw this when King Herod heard from the visiting wise men that a new king had been born on his patch. And so Herod sent the wise men off to find out about this, like where is it born? Report back, I want to know, pretending to want to meet him. Fortunately, the wise men were actually wise men, and they didn't listen to Herod. But then we read some really disturbing sentences from Matthew's gospel. When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the magi, the wise men, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he'd learned from the magi. Now, this is a part of the nativity we don't often see acted out. This is cancelling the ancient world. This is like genocide. But what does it show? You know, to us, Jesus' authority, it doesn't seem that real, maybe. But it obviously was for Herod. He took it really seriously. He wasn't threatened by Jesus' cuteness as a baby, or maybe his wisdom that he was going to grow up into a really wise teacher. He was threatened by Jesus' authority, and he tried to cancel him. And that is the story of Jesus' life, that often people who correctly understood his claim to be Messiah, to be God on earth, they either fall down and worship him like the wise men, or try and cancel him like Herod. And the latter of those, the cancelling, is the reason why in the end he was killed. And when you think about it, there are only kind of two rational responses to Jesus' claim to be Messiah. Either we celebrate him as king, or we cancel him. And now, in Fulham, we might try and squeeze in a third response, which is a kind of really polite cancelling. Just ignore him. And do you know what? That is quite easy to do in the sense that you can't see him. And you can avoid people like me who invite you to carol services. But let me ask, as an adult, what is your immediate reaction to Jesus' claim to be God on earth? Do we want to celebrate him as our king, crown him, and say to Jesus, you know what, Jesus, you're God. Of course you can tell me how to run my life. You can tell me what's right and wrong. Or would we prefer to cancel him out our lives? Just hit the mute button. And as I said, we can do that really politely, and it's quite easy. But nonetheless, we cancel him. May I suggest, if we're honest here tonight, for a lot of us, our instinctive reaction would be just to cancel him. So I'll recap so far. Jesus is God's ultimate authority, born as a baby. Jesus, God's ultimate authority, we try and cancel. And then finally tonight, Jesus, God's ultimate authority, we need. One of the big shocks for me, anyway, in 2019, was Kanye West releasing an album called Jesus is King. And now he's calling himself a born-again Christian. And this was a shock for a number of reasons. Firstly, in 2013, Kanye compared himself to Jesus. Actually, on one of his tracks, he released an album. On one of his tracks, it was called I Am God. So it was also a shock, humanly speaking, because Kanye has kind of everything, you know? He's married to Kim. He's got a beautiful family. He's got fame. He's got fortune. So why would Kanye go from canceling Jesus to celebrating Jesus as king? Even now, he refuses to play his old music, and he's touring around America doing Sunday church services. I mean, it would be quite amazing if he came here. I'm not sure how it would work, but he's visited prisons and done services there. And on an American chat show, a guy called Jimmy Kimmel, asked Kanye, so would you consider yourself now to be a Christian music artist? Kanye replied, I'm just a Christian everything. And I was like, wow. You know, guys, this could be a PR stunt. You know, it could be a phase. And Kanye has had a lot of phases. But it could be that he's realized he really does need Jesus. Today, in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. It turns out Jesus is double-hatting. He's not just the Messiah, God's ultimate authority on earth. He's also God's savior of the world. Saving us from what, we might ask? Well, the Bible would say our biggest problem is not war or disease. It's not even how badly we're treating this planet or each other. Our biggest problem is how we're treating God himself. It might feel really easy to kind of politely cancel Jesus, you know, just hit the mute button, cut him dead. But just because something feels easy doesn't mean it's not a big deal. You know, like if my boss every morning walked in and said hello to me and I just kind of blanked him, that'd be pretty easy to do. But it's going to have consequences for my relationship with my boss and probably my career as well. Just because something feels easy doesn't mean it's a big deal. And if we repeatedly and systematically ignore God, that is a big deal. And the Bible says, really plainly, if we cancel Jesus out our lives, God is personally offended by that. As you can imagine, to personally offend the God of the universe has some pretty serious consequences on Judgment Day. And as Savior, Jesus says, if we're willing to accept his help, I will deal with those consequences. Which puts Jesus in a pretty interesting position, because he's come to save the very people who want to cancel him. He's both the Savior of the world and the ruler of the world. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Well, we began this evening thinking about our aversion to authority, and we don't really like being told what to do by anyone. Jesus, he's very different to every other authority on earth we want to cancel. Even though Jesus is the most important man in the world, he uses that authority to help us, the very people who want to cancel him. Whatever we think of Kanye, it does take humility, doesn't it, to admit you're wrong, to go from cancelling Jesus to trusting Jesus, and then so overtly, publicly celebrate him as king. Let me ask you tonight, how will you respond to Jesus this Christmas? Will you cancel him politely and carry on as before? Or this Christmas, maybe for the first time, will you take the opportunity to celebrate Jesus as your Messiah, as your Savior? Well, I thought we might reflect on that question and anything else that struck you with one of Kanye's very own tracks from his latest album. So we're going to have a listen to that and see if you like it.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that he came to earth as our Savior, saving us from the consequences of turning away from you. We know that all too often we try to cancel you, pushing you out of the picture, because we think the story of Jesus is an untrue fairy tale, or because we want to reject him as our king. Please would you help us recognize and celebrate Jesus' authority and his love for us as he meets our deepest need. We thank you for Christmas time, a chance to relax and enjoy the company of family and friends. But Father, we know that for some, Christmas is a difficult time due to loss of loved ones, illness, poverty, and loneliness. Please would you draw near to them by your Spirit this Christmas and comfort them. Please would local churches and communities share the love that they receive from you with those who are in need this Christmas. We pray too for the upcoming general election. We pray that you would give our next Prime Minister wisdom in making big decisions for this country, especially during such a difficult and unusual political climate. Thank you for the relative peace and freedom that we have been able to enjoy in this country, and we pray that this would continue. God, we pray for the protests that are happening in Hong Kong. Despite deep divisions between the authorities and the anti-government movement, we pray against an escalation of violence, and we pray that there would be a peaceful resolution. Finally, Father, we thank you that, as you have promised, there will be a day when you make all things new. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Thank you that through Jesus we can look forward to that day. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Suli, thank you very much for leading us in our prayers. In just a moment, it's time for our final carol, and during that carol, a collection will be taken for our Christmas charities for this year. Should you wish to make a donation, the collection will be coming past you. The two charities are, you'll see on the screen, the Royal Trinity Hospice. They care for hundreds of patients from across southwest London with progressive, life-limiting illnesses. And also London City Mission, who work with some of the most, with London's most marginalised citizens, and are particularly reaching out to the lost and lonely this Christmas time with the hope that's found in Jesus. Well, let's stand together and sing our last carol together. Sing, hark.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies.
please do take a seat.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. It sounded like you did. If you did enjoy it, please do come again and join us for maybe one of our other Christmas services. Perhaps you intended on coming to the traditional one anyways, in which case just come back next week. You'll find on an insert, and you'll see also on the screen, the insert in the service sheet that you came with, more details of things going on throughout December. You should also have found on your seat a copy of Matthew's Gospel on your chairs. It's our Christmas gift to you. Please do take it with you. It's a chance to find out more about Jesus and what it would mean for you to celebrate him as your king. You might be surprised about what you discover as you read this. The other thing you'll see on the other side to the Christmas services on the insert is about at the bottom there you'll see Christianity Explored. Perhaps you want to think a little bit more about this. It says Christianity Explored is a 6-week course which gives you time and space to consider the big questions of life and to explore the life of Jesus Christ. It's on Thursday starting at 7 p.m, 16th of January, and you'll see there an email address for you to find out more details. Of course, you'd be very welcome for any of our Sunday services in the new year or beyond, 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. In just a moment, there'll be mulled wine and mince pies through the halls in the back. But before that, let me lead us in a closing prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for carols. Thank you for jazz. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Come as a baby to save us, to be our Lord, to be our Savior. Would we learn what it is to trust him, to follow him, to have him as Lord, to be celebrating him this Christmas time. Amen.